overtook him. The second pasuk was Yaakov went in front of his four wives and his 12 children. And 11 children. Was he born yet? He was not born yet. Binyamin was not born yet. And the last pasuk is the pasuk that we learned at the end of the last pasuk of Perek Beis, Vahashem, and the Melech of Malcolm. We learned yesterday, the king goes in front of them, Vahashem Bereisham. So Rav Kalman said that the reason there's a procession in the three psukim. The first pasuk discusses two individuals who have no relationship with one another. There is absolutely no connection between Achimatz and the Kushi. The Kushi, we assume, was not even Jewish. So when Achimatz went in front of him, he went 2 miles in front of him, as Rav Kalman said. He went way ahead of him because there's no connection. The second pasuk describes a person going in front of you who is connected to you. A husband is attached to his wife. So when the pasuk says, "Vu avar lifnehem," that the father, Yaakov, went in front of his wife, his four wives, and his children, he went in front. But he didn't go in front to disappear. He went in front to leave because he is their husband and he is the father of the children. The third example of the Melech HaMashiach, together with Vahashem Bereisham, represents an even closer connection, a bond. So there are when it says that a person goes in front, there are three types of going in front. There's going in front where you have nothing to do with the people that are following you. There's going in front when you are attached to a very significant degree. And then there was you go in front where you're really one. The Melech HaMashiach with Ribbono Shel Olam is really one with Klal Yisrael, and this that it says they go in front, it's just an expression, Bereisham. Likewise, when you make a bracha before the mitzvah, I guess the Chazal giving us three examples, it's expressing different madregos in different levels of the bracha going ahead of the mitzvah. The bracha, it's one and the same, especially in the last example. The different way you have to extrapolate different madregos in when it means we make a bracha oivel le'asias, a very beautiful ha'ara to show the procession of different types of relationships. Everything in Yadus is all about relationships, a relationship between a father and a child, a mother and a child. And vice versa, the relationship that the child has to the mother and the father, between a man and a wife, between a person and his grandparents, person and his ancestors, to his future generations, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life is all about a Rebbe, the relationship between a Talmud to his Rebbe. I saw recently something which blew my mind, and I mentioned this, I was in Lakewood for Shabbos, I mentioned this to a very big Talmud Chacham, and he froze. And I said that I saw in the Ramak. The Ramak is the one that we show him, and he says that Shlomo HaMelech, he composed Shir HaShirim. Rashi says Shir HaShirim is basically, if you read it at face value, it's a love story. It's a relationship between a man and his wife, a man and his kala, a man and his, whatever expression, a man and a woman. However you want to, a man and a woman, the love between a man and a woman. Ani le'doidi ve'doidi li. And Rashi says, don't get carried away here. This is just nothing more than a mashal between the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's not to be interpreted literally. It's not correct to interpret this psukim. Some of the psukim are very graphic in how it describes this relationship. It's just a mashal between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. The Ramak says that it's a chaval. It's said that Shlomo HaMelech, when he wrote this love relationship, he did not describe the ultimate love relationship. He took a nechoistarik, he took a step down. The step down was a man and a woman. And that's only because we're not living in the times of Mashiach. It's only because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava, because there was a chait that was introduced into this world. It's not possible to describe the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael in its ultimate form. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech had to take a step down and describe it in the second to best, the second to best intense relationship which he uses as a man and a woman. So you'll ask that, so what then is the ultimate relationship? If this is only the second to best, what's the ultimate? So he says the ultimate love relationship, you're not going to believe what he writes, is the love between a Rebbe and a Talmud and a student. And if we would have merited, Shlomo HaMelech would have written Shir HaShirim in a relationship describing the love a Rebbe and a Talmud. But because we were not zoiche, so we have to go down one level and describe it in terms of a man and a woman. Isn't that an amazing thing to say? Who would say such a thing? Who could even understand what that means?
Rabbi Shon yesterday explained the Al-Khayt, the Zilzim Pair and the Murray, that the Al-Khayt is what is higher than and Murray that are Mizalzel and their children.
The other way around. Not the Al-Khayt that we are Mizalzel in our parents. It's the Khayt that the teachers and the parents are Mizalzel in their children. It's a very dangerous thing to say, because in this generation, I understand what you're saying.
And he said also, we say, I'll decree
Bonoya. Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah, don't you? Yeah.
You want to have a child vessel, you have to be Bonoya. You have to build him up.
Positive. Okay, it's a very fascinating thing, but you have to take it with a grain of salt. Because unfortunately, we live in a generation where You know, the children by the Ummah Yisraelam, they call their parents by their first name. There's no respect altogether. You call by the first name, and like the parents, you know, they're like the parents are frightened. They're afraid of the children, and in the Jewish world, in the Frum world, to a degree, that's a very big problem. It's a very, very big problem today. But he's saying this obviously in a positive sense. In the positive sense is that even if you live in a situation where your children are afraid of you, you have to appreciate the gift that Hashem gave you. You have to appreciate what Hashem gave a person, a gift, a child. And he's saying an incredible vart. An incredible vart is don't take lightly the gift of having a child, of having a student. It's a very great achrayus, an opportunity. And you have to take it to heart. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nihiyeh Bidvaroy.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I think I read somewhere in the Jewish that Klal Yisrael's relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu is different than the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Haran. The Haran they loved because he was shown the world. Moshe Rabbeinu they treated, even though he's a Rebbe, not Moshe Rabbeinu. It was more of a judge relationship, a fearful relationship between him. And I always wondered, based on what you just said, Talmud and the Rebbe, so what was that relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu, and I assume Klal Yisrael perhaps analogous to being his Talmid?
Okay, so let me tell you a vart that I wanted to say, Parshas Devarim. I remember this. I was in the same Friday, Parshas Devarim, we never had Kiddush because we learned Kinos. We spent that whole Friday. Yes, your question is very clear, and I want to give you an answer. I don't know if it's going to satisfy you, but you touched upon something which is a vart that's very chaviv to me, and we didn't get to talk about it because we're spending.
He hit the seller.
He hit it.
And not talked to the seller. He hit the seller.
Why?
Because he loved the name Israel.
That's a famous verb. It's
okay. Yeah,
because he didn't want to. All right,
he didn't want to be Mabayish Yisrael because the seller listens to him.
Right,
he did a little naver l'shma. I hear the vart. I don't know. I never really. It's a nice vart. It didn't really, you know. Yeah, I think a lot of people say it's not only the rough. It's a famous approach. It's a famous approach.
Yeah.
It's a popular vart. It doesn't resonate with me. I mean, I don't know. There's something that bothers me about that vart. All right, in any event, you say something very, very good, and I want to show something very interesting. In the beginning of the vartim, this is a brisk vart, but I want to there's a spin on it. There are two different roles Moshe Rabbeinu has. Number one, he is a Navi. Number two, he is a Rebbe. Okay, this is the Vart from the Briskerov. I think the Briskerov, one of the Mishpachas Brisk. I don't know which one. Ele ha-devarim asher dibe Moshe el kol Yisrael. Be'ever hayaden. Ele ha-devarim. This is words of Nevuah. Okay, be'ever, he says in the Derech Remes. Bamidbar, Barava, Mulsuf, Bain Param, Bain Tavalov, Chasers, Vidizahov, Acharas, Seir. Rashi over here goes on and explains in the first two psukim, Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Klal Yisrael Musar, Bederech Remes. Bederech, each word in these two psukim, Rashi says, is a code word for an event where the Jewish people misbehaved. And it's coming to remind them of their transgression, their transgressions, their sins, and it's giving them Musar. And he, because of the Kvoidon Shel Yisrael, he only mentions everything Bederech Remes, the hint. Then, Pasuk Gimel begins a whole new section. Vayihi b'yarboim shana b'yashrei asar chodesh b'chol chodesh diber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziv Hashem. He goes on. I'm reading a long introduction. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu begins to speak to them as a Rebbe. So in the beginning. In the beginning of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu presents himself to Klal Yisrael in two different roles. Role number one, I am the Nevi Hashem. Hashem sent me to give you Musar. I'm going to take a stick and bang on your heads. I'm going to break your heads open. I'm not, no Rachmanis. I am the Nevi Hashem, the prophet of Hashem. Ele hadvarim asher diber Moshe, he speaks with force. And then he goes on to soften his tone, basically says the same exact thing in much, much more detail as he goes through the entire parasha. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael. He takes off his robe of the prophet, make believe a prophet, he wears a special costume, a robe. Okay, I've done my job as the Navi. Now, let me talk to you like a Rebbe, like a father. Then he begins, Be'er Hayam Eretz Moav, Hoyil Moshe, Be'er Es HaTorah Hazois Leimar. This is what it says in from the Mishpachas Brisk, the beginning, open up any lot of the good Svar on Chumash, they'll express this idea in different words. But the basic yisoid is, I don't know if I'm saying all the details, but the basic yisoid is the beginning of Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu appears to Klal Yisrael as two different people, two different functions. I am a Navi and I am a Rebbe. You don't have that by any of the Nevi'im that we learn in the Sifra Nevi'im. You go through Tanakh, all the Nevi'im, we're learning Micha. Is Micha a Rebbe? Doesn't seem so. Micha is a Navi. V'zehu. We have prophets, we learn the Sifra and Nevi'im, they're Nevi'im. A Navi, you get a sense, he's distant. He's distant, you know, he's not your buddy. You're not able just to go into his office and talk to him and hang out with him. A Navi is a Navi, there's a sense of distance, know who you're talking to. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to being the Nevi Hashem, he was also the Rabban Shel Yisrael, the Rebbe. A Rebbe has a different type of relationship with his students than the Navi has with his Talmid. We don't just go and hang out with the Rebbe either, okay? Obviously, maybe today you do. Today, it's a different world. But a Rebbe is a different relationship than a Navi. Okay, that's the brisk of art. I want to add this one small nekuda. The word that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk, uses... What does it mean, ho'il? Ho'il means he began. Rashi says, Pasuk Hei, hischil, kimo hineino ho'alti. I have begun, I've gone this. I think Eliezer, he neh noh alti. I'm not even sure where he neh noh alti. I just want to make a suggestion that the word hoyil also means I actually saw this is vayoyel Moshe lo sheves es hoish. The word hoyil is also related to the word to want, to desire. Moshe Rabbeinu, he came to the well. Tzipora was there. The shepherds were chasing, were harassing them. Moshe Rabbeinu, he rose up to their rescue. He chased away the shepherds. He took the stone off the well. He gave them to drink, gave the animals to drink. And the daughters of Yisro go back home. And Yisro says, how come you're home so early today? What happened? And they say there was a man at the well who came to our defense. He got rid of all of these evildoers. And he pulled it open, and he miraculously was able to lift up the stone, and he watered our animals, and that's why we came home early. So Yisro says, it's a good shidduch. It's a good shidduch for one of you. Go call him. Call him. Maybe he'll marry one of you. Halavai, I have seven daughters. I have seven daughters. Like someone I once know, he was sitting, and he was talking to him, and he says, Kenai Nahara, I have seven daughters. So the woman said to him, don't worry, no one's giving you an iron heart. Isn't that a great line? That is such a good line. Okay, that is such a good line. Okay? So Moshe, he had Yisrael, I think, seven daughters, it says, right? So what happened to the other daughters? I have no idea. What happened to his other six daughters? Who do they marry? I have no idea. It doesn't say. Okay, but the first daughter, Tzipora, married Moshe. Did Moshe want to marry her? When Moshe was forced, it says in the pasuk that Moshe would vayoyel Moshe losheves esoish. Moshe, he liked her. He liked her. He wanted to marry. In fact, there's a medrash. Oh, sure does. Oh, you bet it does. You bet it does. There's a medrash. It was a love story. Yisrael was suspicious of him. He threw him into a dungeon with the intent that he should die. He should just perish. And secretly, Tzipora would come every day and throw him some potatoes. In Saudi Arabia, they grew potatoes, right? They throw him some food down the pit. And Yisra, how in the world did you survive all these years? And it was discovered, it was a love story going on between Tzipora and Moshe. So it says in the Medrash. Okay, it's a romantic story between Tzipora and Moshe. They don't want to teach you this in Yeshiva Ketana, because they don't want you to get any ideas. Okay, but that's what it says. That's what it says in the Medrash. Vayol Moshe. Take, now here comes the Rapport. This is what I'm coming to, which your question triggered. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, is presented as two things. A Navi and a Rebbe. Unique. All the other prophets that we learn about, we do not get a sense that they were teachers, that they were Rebbeim. We don't get that sense. Maybe you'll tell me it's true. I don't know, but I don't get that sense. It appears that they were only prophets. They were not melamdim. They didn't have yeshivas where they taught Torah. They gave over nevuah. Moshe is both. He's the Rabban Shel Yisrael, undisputable Rabban, but he's also the Navi. He also is a Musar. Now, if you would sit down Moshe on interview, 2020 interview, and you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you have two roles. Tell us, which one do you like better? Which one do you prefer? Which one is closer to your heart? Sometimes you put on your robe of a Navi, and sometimes you put on your big furry hat as a Reish HaYeshiva. Tell us, what do you enjoy more in your life? You know what Moshe Rabbeinu would say? I like being a Rosh Hashiva much better than being a Navi. Hoyil Moshe Be'er, Vayoyel Moshe. Moshe wanted, when he's presented as being a Rebbe, it doesn't just say that he was a Rebbe. This was where his heart was. He was a Navi, undisputable fact, he was a Navi. Ele ha-devarim asher dibe Moshe kol Yisrael, he's a Navi. And then he's also a teacher. Be'er Moshe, it's a Torah hazois. But only by Torah does it say Hoyel Moshe. Hoyel Miloshoin Vayoyel Moshe. This is what I like to do. This is what I enjoy doing. So Moshe had that dual role, a teacher and a Navi. What did he like better? I'm suggesting that he liked being a Rebbe better than being a Navi.
You can see the title, Moshe Rabbeinu. The other one said, we are a Navi.
We don't call Moshe the Navi.
All I'm saying is, good. After us, Aharon had three roles, if you think about it. He was a Navi, he was a Kohen Gadol, and he was also, for lack of a better word, a social worker, or a counselor.
Okay.
Between people and their
okay,
problems.
You're right.
And they didn't go to Moshe, you didn't get a sense from what, at least what I read, people would come, I'm having problems with my wife.
It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayivku kol Yisrael. It's a pasuk. The whole klal Yisrael mourned. Moshe, only the men mourned. Shalom Bais, it says that 80,000, this man said that when Aaron died, he was buried in Har HaHar, but at some point in time it says that 80,000 boys whose names were Aaron, marched in tribute to Aaron HaKoyin. How do you get 80,000 young men whose name is Aaron? Because there were 80,000 couples in Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine 600,000 couples, 600 men, which means there were 600,000 marriages, and from the 600,000, 80,000, a big number, okay, 80,000 of them had Sholem Bayis problems, and they went for social to a marriage counselor. Who was the marriage counselor? Aaron. He saved their marriage, and they had a child after he patched up their Shalom Bayis issue. And in honor of Aaron, who saved their marriage, they named their child Aaron. That's what it says in the Medrash. It must have been a problem. The Gemara said that you call three generations. If you have a city where everyone, I don't know why they do this in shul, because it happens in shul, that happens quite often in shul, where you have people who have exactly the same name, you're supposed to call them after the grandfather. Yosef ben Aaron ben Levi. You're supposed to go one more generation to differentiate between two people who have exactly the same name. You don't see it being done today in shul. I don't know why not, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a situation where you have people have the same name, you have to be able to differentiate by going back another generation. I saw once in shul, they called up a guy and two people showed up to the bima. They called up someone and two people ascended. They had exactly the same name. They both they're being called. I saw even worse. Someone told me that he was the gabbai in a certain yeshiva about 50 years ago. This is a horrible story, but I believe it to be true. I don't know, because when I've heard from other people, put piece together, and he said, Yamoid Harosh HaYeshiva.
Two guys got up.
More than two people move forward. There was a yeshiva, and there were a lot of chashra people, and they all held themselves to be the Rosh HaYeshiva. And when he said, Yamoid Harosh HaYeshiva, I don't even know if he said, even if he said like their names, and he said, a few people started motioning to come up. Isn't that scary? And I believe it. Based upon what I know from other sources, it sounds like this taka could be very true. Or if you want all the details, speak to me privately. If I want to tell you, but it's a scary story.
But wasn't every Navi in a way a teacher because he was delivering?
Yes and no. He's a teacher, but he's Nevuah is different than Torah. Nevuah is the word of Hashem. The word of Hashem, it's a direct communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Rebbe is not giving you a communication. You're taking what was already given to us. We have the Torah. We have a tradition as to what the Torah says. You learn a Mishnah. You learn a piece of Gemara. You learn a Maimon Chazal. A Rebbe, we all could appreciate that. We don't have Nevuah today. Everything we have today is Begeder Torah. There's no Nevuah today. So we have no clue what a Nevuah is. We're so far removed from this concept of prophecy that to us the whole thing doesn't make any sense even if you think about it. But there's something called prophecy and there's something called Torah. They're very, very different. We discussed, it was a very big, fascinating insight to me, is that we have in the principle of the Gemara something called Torah lav bashamayim hi. Torah is not decided in heaven. Torah is decided here down on earth through reasoning, through logic, through argument, and whatever decision is made in halacha through logic that is human, that is understood through a human being, through Bezdin, that is the halacha. And in Shemayim, in heaven, when they punish and reward people for doing the right or wrong thing, it's based upon the law that is established here on earth. Nevuah is this, what we have to say here on earth doesn't count. It all depends on what Shemayim, they have a message, they have a decree. We are silent to listen to what the Pamalia Shalmaila, what is said in the upper chambers. We had a discussion that there is a Talmud Yerushalmi and a Talmud Bavli. We learned about Harav Toladino. Toladino, he's a professor. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's a professor in Hebrew University, Eretz Yisrael. And Meir did research. He showed me exactly who he is. He's an incredible Talmud Chacham. He put out 3 volumes in Jewish history. And the Svarim is, you read the Svarim, you get it. You right away feel the Yirah Shemayim that this fellow has in his presentation. And he has a lot of chidushim, a lot of original, novel insights into Jewish history. And one of his chidushim, he writes, is that the difference between the derech halimud of the Yerushalmi and the derech halimud of the Bavli is, in the Bavli, Shemayim is out of the picture. There's an iron curtain between us and Shemayim. Torah lav b'Shemayim. The Yerushalmi is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a land of prophecy. And there the rule of Torah lav b'Shemayim is, I wouldn't say totally ignored, but it is...
Overridden?
It is not overridden, it's downplayed. It's downplayed. What that means exactly, I don't know. It's downplayed.
Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe Eretz Yisrael is like in the Shemayim. Instead of saying
that
your mind is not down here.
Eretz, the way he presents it, he shows examples there. In Eretz Yisrael, look, we know that there's the say called the Magid Meisharim. What's the Magid Meisharim? The Beis Yosef. Every night he learned with the Balach. A Balach came to him and taught him Torah. He taught him what's going on in Shemayim. You have the Ramchal. Okay, the Ramchal was not in Eretz. The Ramchal was not in the early years in Eretz Yisrael. But you have. In Shemayim, they're having incredible influence upon man and this
in
Torah.
So Malach is teaching the baby Torah in the fetus. What is he teaching?
What?
When he's teaching him Torah, the Malach exposes your baby.
Ein Lechanami. So
which one is he teaching? Rishalmi or is he teaching Malach?
I don't know. Both. Kol Torah Kula says he teaches everything. He teaches the child everything it says. Everything. Kol Torah Kula. Whatever that means. But in Yerushalayim, the Torah is coming down from heaven, and then the study of Torah is to understand, to legitimize what was sent down from heaven. In Bavel, it's just the opposite. There's no nevuah in Chutz Li'aretz. There it's just the opposite. You work, it's grassroots. You're starting from this earth, you work your way up. It's a different direction in the Derech Halimud, Yerushalmi and Bavli. Yerushalmi, the Torah is more synthesized with nevuah. It's a different type of learning. Moshe Rabbeinu was one is a Navi, but the other one is a Rebbe. He has these two elements. This is, I think, an idea. Hoyel Moshe, if you would sit down with Moshe Rabbeinu and interview him, and you would ask him, Moshe, what do you like? Which one of your roles do you feel more at home with? Is you more comfortable with? He would say, I enjoy much more being a Rebbe than being a Navi. And the proof is because he uses the word hoyil only in reference to being a Rebbe, does not use this word in reference to being a Navi. Hoyil means vayoyel Moshe Losheves. This is what I want. This is what I enjoy. Okay, so it's a brisk of art. There are 2 dinim in Moshe. It's a typical brisk of art. Tzvei dinim. There are 2 dinim in Moshe Rabbeinu. A din Navi, a din Rebbe. Which one did Moshe Rabbeinu himself like? I'm suggesting Hoyel Moshe. He enjoyed being a Rebbe. When we learn Sifrei Neviim, do we really come across a principle that a Navi is both a Rebbe and a Navi? I don't get it. I don't see it. Maybe I'm totally wrong. You get a sense that the Neviim, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu stands out. Moshe Rabbeinu stands out in being a double role. And the Nevi'im, the other Nevi'im, only seem to have a single role as a Navi. With that Hagdama, now we go on to the next Perek. Perek Gimel, page 474. Vo'imar. And I said, who is the speaker? It's either the Navi, or it's Hashem. Hashem is speaking through the Navi. Shimuno Rashi Yaakov Ketzine Beis Yisrael. Haloi lochem lodas es hamishpat. Now we are going, according to all opinions, we're going back to words of Musar. We had a discussion, the last two Pesukim, were they words of Nechama or were they words of Musar? Everyone here agrees that now we are returning to words of Musar. You should know Mishpat. Okay, let's read another let's read another Pasuk. Soine toi ve'oihave ra. Instead of loving justice, what do you do? You're corrupt. Instead, you hate what is toiv, and you love what is ra. Goizle oira me alehem. You're so evil that it's as if you pull off people's skin. It's not enough. We learned last week. This different psukim where people are corrupt. They steal people's clothing. Fellow is walking in the street. He's wearing a garment, and you rip the garment off their body. You strip them naked. Here we're going even further. It's not enough that you took away their clothing. You took away their undergarments. You now pull the skin off their bones. That's how evil you are. That's the degree of evil. Goizle oiram me'alehem u'she'eram me'al atzmoisam. The she'er means basar. Okay, she'er basar. The word she'er is also a word. It's a synonym for flesh. A relative. We'll see in the Mefarshim. I've got the exact pasuk. It's used in Tanakh to refer the word shin. Aleph rei she'er. As a blood relative, flesh, your own basar v'dam, you take the flesh off their bones. Let's see these two psukim in the Mitzvot Tavit. On page 474, on the bottom of Amar Shimu No Ani Amar Shimu Ator Rashi. Listen, he's addressing over here the leaders. The leaders are always there are two words for leaders. They are the Rashi Yaakov and the Ukitzine. The Kitzine means like the kotze, the edge. The edge means the top, the upper echelon, the edge of Klal Yisrael, the upper crust of Klal Yisrael, who are the leaders. Listen, Ata Rasha Haloy Elochem Alechem Mutal Lodases Hamishpat Im Ne'eses Sobo Aretz V'Alechem L'Hazir El Adover. The way the Mitzudos Tava learns is that this is your obligation. You have failed miserably. It is your duty as a leader to see to it that there is Mishpat. And when there is justice has not been served, the ones who are held accountable are the leaders. You always have to ask a question. A person gets a job. What is your role? What just cover it? To be a figurehead? To be on the picture on the website of the institution? What is your job? What is your role in every person, whatever they do in their life? What exactly is your role? The role of a leader is mishpat, is to see to it justice is served. That's what you write. This is what you're supposed to do. Haloi lochem, isn't that your role? If you're just here for the ride, for the covet, for your glossy picture to be in the front cover of the magazine, that's what it's all about. Where is justice? Haloi lochem ladas es hamishpat. And instead, Pasuk Beis, Sonei Tov Avol, Oid Heim Atzmam Sonei Satov. They hate their job. Okay, they hate their job. Who likes their job? Anyone who likes their job? They hate their job. Sonei Mesatov, Ve'oyav Mesoran, they love evil. Goizle Oyram Me'alehem, Heim Atzmam Goizlim, Eile Me'ele Es Oyram Uvesara Me'al Atzmaisam. They steal from one another the skin, and their flesh, okay, the or is the skin and the basar. He translates the word she'er as basar. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, u'she'eram, kein yikorei ha-basar, Me'al atzmai son, v'uhu inyan guzma v'haflogolus v'marbis ha'gezel. This is a gross exaggeration, because you've never seen this, where people, not only they're not happy just to steal a person's clothing, they have to actually pull the flesh off their bones, but it's an expression to wake up the people to the degree of corruption that is taking place in society. Look in the Rashi, Goizle Oiram, Shel Beis Yisrael, Shehem Roshim, they steal of Klal Yisrael, Shehem Roshim Ukitzinim Alehem. They are these people that we are addressing are the leaders. Two words for leaders. Kamosha Omar, Roshe Beis Yaakov, Ukitzine Beis Yisrael. Pasik, okay, now let's see them in Bardak. Radak Pasik Aleph and Beis, V'Oimar Chozal Latoychocha. The Radak Lishita said, until now we were giving words of Nechama. Now we're going back to giving words of Musar. Here the Pasik is coming to address, to give Musar to the leaders that they are evil, they're not taking care of the poor. Kimoy Sha'omar Lo'oyev Yikoimeim. Like we learned, his Lishita Soy is that the leaders are viewed in the eyes of the simple poor people as their enemy. These leaders, they are our enemy. They're not looking out for our good. It's just a club of rich people. The leaders have no sensitivity to the poor people. The poor people are just pawns. They're just an audience for themselves. We always go back to the Yisoid of Rush Limbaugh. What's the Yisoid of Rush Limbaugh? This mamish, a Yisoid that should be written up, I believe, in all of the Sifri Chazal. It's a Meridik Yisoid. I heard this, he always says this. I haven't listened to him in a long time. But it was Kedai that listed all those years just for this Yisoid. He says, you go, remember this Yisoid, beautiful Yisoid. It's very practical in Chazal. When you listen, if you listen, let's say, on television to all of the anchor, the famous anchor people, you have all the famous channels. Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 4, all, and there are the 6 o'clock news, the 6:30, whatever it is, and they get up in front of an audience that each one has approximately 10 million viewers. I don't know if that's true today anymore with the internet, but back in the day, it used to be, before the internet was very popular, it used to be that 6 o'clock news, each one of these people on the major networks had an audience of about 10 million people, approximately. And they were fighting. If this one has 9 million people and the other one has 10 million people, his job is in jeopardy. Because the network cannot charge for the advertisements while the other network charges. So, you know, you're in the hot seat. Okay, your salary, v'chulu, v'chulu. But that's a lot of people, you know. 10 million people, wow. Who could get an audience of 10 million people to listen to every night for half an hour from 6 o'clock? What is it now? Half of that?
No, less. Less. Much less.
No, that's not true.
Does anybody watch?
7 million people. That is an amazing number. Try to count to 1,000. See if you don't fall asleep. what it means to have 7 million people listening to you every night. Who, if you ask these people, let's say have 5 people, free television, who are you talking to? I'm talking to 7 million people. Got to make sure your tie is nice and tight, you brush your teeth, comb your hair, right? And make sure you're really at your best. 7 million people, your mother will kill you. 7 million people are watching you. Who are they talking to? They're talking to 5 people. Or they're talking to, maybe you want to expand it? Okay, they're talking to 30 people. Each anchor man is talking to the most, I'm talking to 30 people. Who are the 30 people? I'm talking to the person who's the anchor man on channel, this channel and that channel and this internet channel, that internet channel. I'm talking to my competitors. What is the top news story today? What is the top news story? You think that's the most important thing in the news today? I disagree with you. I'm going to show you up. The most important thing that has to be discussed in America today is this. Your take. What is your take on this story? That's what you think. Let me tell you my data. They're talking to 30 people at most. Maybe even less. Maybe even 10 people. Because who counts? What do you mean? There are 7 million people listening to you. Those 7 million people are just a hechatimsa, are just a necessity. They're just pawns for me to have the opportunity to punch, to fight, and to express myself against my competitors. It's very true. The more you think about it, the more you hear this.
What
is
did he say? This. What did
that's what he said. That's his Yisoid. That's exactly what he says. That's his Yisoid. They're not the third. The 7 million people are garbage. They're mamish garbage in the eyes of these arrogant anchormen. They're garbage. They're just there as a hechatimsa, so I can go and fight and get covered. We can argue who's right and who's wrong. Is this event that happened today, is this a good event or is it a bad event? Does this reflect good on the president? Does it reflect bad on the president? Does this promote my agenda or does this not promote my agenda? And I'm only arguing who is in the boxing ring. In the boxing ring, you have 30 people. What about the 7 million people? They're garbage. They're just there to give me a platform, to give me an opportunity to fight with people I want to fight with. It sounds... What?
That includes him as well.
Calhoun well.
No, Rush Limbaugh as well.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's right. It does. I agree with you. 100%. I agree with you. He's part of the problem. He's part of the problem. Okay. Either you love him or you hate him. You have this. This comes up in Nach. We've had this more than a few times. This comes up. The Nevi'e Sheker. They're talking to Klal Yisrael. They're just using Klal Yisrael as a way to fight with the Nevi'e Emes. They're just using the Klal Yisrael who they're preaching to fight with their contemporaries, with people in positions of power, to get more power, more money. And here as well, when you have over here, when the Navi addresses, Shimon or Rasha Yaakov, Gatzini Beis Yisrael, Haloi Lechem Ladasas HaMishpat. What's your job? Your job is to see to it that the poor people have a voice, that there is Mishpat. And instead, what are the poor people in Klal Yisrael? They're just pawns for you to make a parnasa. They're just there for you to get covered. They're just there for you to have entertainment and feel good about yourselves. You don't care about them. You couldn't give a hoot about these people. They're just there as a platform so you can then, if you have, serve your own agenda.
Boy, does that describe the left today?
What?
The perfect description of the left today.
Not just the left. This is a very frightening description of a mindset of people in a position of power. You're in a position of power to serve a purpose. And then it's very dangerous, it's very easy to forget what you're here for and just to use your position of power to promote your own agenda. And you just need your constituents just as a platform for yourself. And that's all. It's all it's about. It's not about who you're here to serve. If you're an anchorman, you're here to give over information to 7 million people. You're not here to go and fight with the guy on the next channel and say you're a shaita. I'm right. Who are you here for? There are 7 million people. You're here to serve. You don't have to. The last person in your mind should be the guy on the next channel. Why is everything that you're saying all a shtech? Is all a punch to the guy on the next channel? Who's the focus? One person or 7 million people? Well, the 7 million people don't count. They're garbage. The only one that counts is the guy on the next channel. On this, you turn the channel this way or you turn the channel that way. Those are the only ones who count.
Yeah. Well, an anchor, unlike a talk show host, an anchor has no connection to the audience. They're no personal connection, whatever.
That's the problem, but that's what he's there for. That's the purpose of the... You have this comes up in Nach over and over again. The leaders here, they're using the population, their constituents, for their own agenda. And he's touching upon that over here as well. The corruption is so great. What are you doing in a position of leadership when you behave in such a way? Back to the Radak. The Radak over here says, they are doing evil. They are causing harm to the poor people. The poor people look at the leaders as our enemy. They're not in it for our good. Amar Anavi Lochem Rashim Ketzinim Oimer, to you, to the leaders, I have a complaint. Ki Alechem Hatiluna, upon you is my complaint. Ki Lochem Lodas Es Hamishpat, it's your role to do justice. Ulachatzil, to save the Gozul Miyad Oishek, to save theft from the oppressor. And instead, what do you do? Soinei toiv, hey toiv, how dare you tell me? How dare you tell me to be honest? What kind of chutzpah? Who do you think you want to tell me to be honest? I am honest. Soinei toiv. Ra'ok siv kri ra. Now he comes over here, kri v'chsiv. It says, look at the pasuk, it says, resh ayin hey. That's what's written. But we pronounce it wrong. What's the message? Vil inyan echad. There's no difference between the word ra with a hey and ra without a hey. Omar shem soinim la sois hatoiv ulehitiv lanim v'loy daish enim mitiv lohem ele avol hem meiriim lohem. They do evil to them. V'zehu v'oyavei ra sh'oyavim la sois hara umar hara shoisim lohem goizlim. What is the ra? They steal. Goizli oyram alem u'sheiram me'al atzmaisam. They steal their skin and they steal their flesh. V'zeu derech moshul ki'ilu mafshitim or habasav yachlim habasav me'al ha'atzmais. They strip the leather and they eat the flesh. V'zeu shohayu goizli mamonam. They steal their money. V'lechem chukam. And the bread that is chukam, their portion. Hamagadel ha'or. V'habasav yachlim. And the Hamagadel or the Abbas of Yatsamos, they steal the bread. So he's learning over here, what it means over here is they steal their food. The food is what gives man sustenance, which maintains a person's flesh and skin. If you don't eat, then your flesh will wither and your skin will decay. So here it means you steal their bread. You steal their bread, and that's why that is the complaint. Yonis Antigim Sonan, you hate. Le'oitava, to do good, v'rochamon le'av osha, you have compassion to do evil. Your heart is inverted. You love to do evil. Onsin nichse ami, you steal. Onsin means you force, by force you deny the poor people. Onos, right? But you force them. You take away. You rob them. You take away their wealth. Minhoin umamon yikarhoin minhoin nosvin, and another expression, and the wealth yikarhoin of their honor from minhoin nosvin, you from them you redirect, you take away their honor. Mamon, I'm not exactly sure what he means over here. I don't know what it means exactly, the difference of what he's trying to describe over here, but the basic idea is that you are. You are evil.
Maybe it means rob their dignity.
Their dignity. Mamon yikar hoin. Yikar is honor. Yikar ugedula. The mamon yikaron. There are two things. There's their assets, and there is their dignity, their honor. Minhoin nosbin. You take away. Nosbin. You take away. You redirect from them. So it seems he wants to say over here is that the first expression, according to the Targum, is the gozle arame alehem, is their wealth. You steal their assets. And the second expression, the bossar, means you steal their dignity. Okay, psychological damage. There is physical damage. There is their assets. You clean them out. Their bank accounts have been cleaned out, squeaky clean, every last penny. And you do not give your constituents dignity. Do not give them honor. Okay, now let's see what it says here in the Malbum. The Malbum Pasuk Aleph and Beis. V'yomar Meishav Lachem Oid Amash Amu. We now go to the next idea. Hakotzar Ruach Hashem Eilem Al Dahu. He's going back to the entire different interpretation, and going back to the previous parak where the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, is Hashem? Do you think Hashem is limited? You're challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is that He cannot help you. Hakotzar Ruach Hashem Eilem Al Olav. Koriel Roshe Beis Yaakov Shehem Ba'atzmam Yishbitu Ba'Davar. They are now going to be judged. Im loy magil lechem al pi adin she'yonshu meis Hashem, to say to them, you are now going to be judged. You are now subject to judgment for allowing, for saying such a thing.
and allowing the people to believe this. V'zeh sh'amar ha'loy lochem l'dasis ha'mishpat sh'roy lochem ha'inish b'mishpat uvedin. The leaders are now going to be held accountable for the tzibur. Soinei, pasig beis, you hate ha'loy acha sh'achem soinei toiv o'evei rosh z'zeh hebech ha'mishpat k'mo sh'chasav omois sinura v'evu toiv. But in establishing the gate mishpat, first of all, over here, he comes to point out over here some overlap between omois and micha. Then omois and micha overlap. Seemingly they did, right? Seemingly they lived at the same time. Omois and micha, they seem to have overlapped, at least according to the chart, just slightly. They did overlap. Did micha ever hear the words of omois? Maybe yeah, maybe no. But the principle is the same. The essence of Mishpat is, according to the Malbim, is a very powerful yesod. It's emotion. It is to love Toiv and to hate Sheker. That is a chidush noira, an awesome chidush. Because many people will argue and say, you want to be a judge, you want to be a dayan. Let's say a person is studying Chosha Mishpat to be a dayan. So what do you do today to be a dayan? You learn Choshen Mishpat, and you get Shimush. You have to go sit in the Bezdin and watch how they conduct themselves. And after you tested thoroughly on Choshen Mishpat, and you have enough years of experience being an apprentice in a Bezdin and watching how things are done, if you're lucky, you'll get Smicha. They'll write you a Ksav Smicha, Yodin Yodin. You have Smicha. So you just got to pass the exams, right? That's all it's about. You got to pass the exams. You have to answer all the questions. They give you a questionnaire. They give you a test. You know the answer. You're done. According to Amos and according to Micha, it means nothing. Just because you pass the exam and you can cite chapter and verse every halacha in Chosha Mishpat, that does not qualify you to be a dayan in Chosha Mishpat. You have to have passion. You have to have emotion. You have to love emes, love toif. You have to have a hatred, a sinner for corruption, for ra. Mm-hmm. How many dayanim do you know today you can say that about? Mm-hmm. How many bati dinim do you know you can say you go to a bezdin? Yeah, it's just a job. You go, yes, sir, azoy, there is a toyein. You have a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer, who knows how to manipulate the minds of the dayanim. You say, Asvar Azoy. The corruption is not to be believed. What goes on? Okay, you say, Asvar Azoy, and the dayanim, yeah, this is a good Svar, this is a good Svar, this is a good Svar. No, this is the halacha. We'll make a pshara, 80-20, 90-10, 50-50, and that's over. Get an F. Part of being a dayan is to hate corruption. And to love emes. If a dayanim really lived with the emotion that is required of them, believe me, they can smell a rat a mile away. They can smell a rat and they can sense, divrei emes can be sensed in a second. If you don't have the emotion, the passion of the hatred of corruption and the love of tzedek, you don't belong on the bench. You don't belong on the bench. Part of Choshen Mishpat is Navi, is to learn the Divrei Nevi'im, is the emotional connection to your job. Ahava and Sina. That's what it says here in the Pasuk. And this is what the Malbim emphasizes. It says here, and look, this is how critical this Pasuk base here in Micha. How like Ach Hashem Soinei Toi, they hate, Pumbake, they're so corrupt. She said, "Hey, becham mishpat." Almost said the same thing. Part of being a dayan is sinura ve'ehevu toiv v'yatzigu v'ashar mishpat. And what do they do instead? V'heim goizli oira me'aleim. They steal their flesh me'aleim shalonim v'achakach goizlim gam she'iram u'besodem yaltsmaisam. He doesn't really explain the expressions, but it means that they're corrupt. Right? Belsky was known. Belsky's one of Levracha. He was known mamish to have this passion. All the stories you hear about him, all the hespedim, he got worked up. He mamish can smell a rat a mile away, and it affected him.
it affected him. You know, he became emotionally involved in many of his cases because, what are you crazy? What kind of nonsense is this? When there is an emotional desire for MS, it changes everything. And that's what you learn from Divrei Navi. It's just not just another job from 9 to 5 for Eluyisha people who know Choshen Mishpat. It's not gonna work. You'll be manipulated. Let's look now at the Mamori Chazal. Mamori Chazal on the bottom of the page Pasuk base. Sinu Soinei Tavoy Veira, Goizle Ayra Me'alem, Lefisha Malocha Moshe Yisrael, Devarim Koshim Techila. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah, in the Toicha he said, Mizei Rav Ulechume Reshef. Mizei means you're bloated. When Rachmanel, sometimes the famine, the body swells. So Mizei here means your body is bloated due to famine. Ulechume Reshef. And there's a battle of demons. Reshef is a demon. Even the demons, the Shadim, are coming to attack you. You're in the worst possible state. In this world, in the physical world, you're finished. And in the spiritual world, there's no malach coming to your support. Instead, the forces of evil, the spiritual forces of evil, are attacking you as well. Michutz teshakel cheref. Outside, the sword is bereaving parents of their children. Umechadorim emo. And people who are indoors, they're in a state of pachad, of fear. Another Musr. You're rebellious. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very tough. Had very harsh words with Klal Yisrael. So that's why at the end of his message he had to soften up. That's the derech, not to end off with harsh words. Chaz of Amalochem, Divrei Nichumim, V'zois HaBaracha, Asher Berach Moshe, Mimenu Lamdu Kol Hanevi'im. Moshe is the Av Hanevi'im. It's not for nothing in the Ani Mamins, the Rambam gave Moshe Rabbeinu a double dosage. The first, Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes, and then the Rambam says another separate principle, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's just not just one of the team, he is the Av Hanevi'im. Part of the 13 principles of faith is a separate principle that Moshe Rabbeinu and Imamim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av Hanevi'im. There was no one like him, not before, not after. So therefore, all of the prophets use Moshe Rabbeinu as their model, as the paradigm of a Navi. And being that Moshe Rabbeinu concluded his words of Nevuah with Baracha, U'mimenu lam nukol nevim shahayu oimim lachem lishol dehom koshim techila, v'chayishim v'yom lachem divrei nechamais, v'chein micha. So why are we citing this Chazal? Because here Chazal makes mention of this very pasuk. Micha amal lachem soinei taiva v'ra. Goyiz lei oimim aleim. The oimer, so we didn't get up to the next pasuk. The oimer, it says in the next pasuk, v'asher ochlu she'er ani v'oimim aleim. Pasuk Gimel, we didn't do that pasuk yet. Same idea. And that's why later, at the end of Sefer Micha, which we lay on Yom HaKippurim, we lay this part of Micha, Mikel Kamoich, Nose Ovan, the Overall Peshal, Lisheris Nachalasoi, Lehech Ziklo Arapa, Kichofe, Tzchesu, Yoshev, Yachamin, Vichibosh, Kavosen, Yicht, Vesashim, Sosim, Kol Chavchosom, Tidem, Zachas, the Avram, Shenishol, Zin, Mekedem. So we're going to quote that pasuk later on. Now, over here, he's coming to make a point. And the point over here is, that pasuk, this is very important, Chazal, because that pasuk, by the way, in that pasuk is hidden secretly the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Okay, there are 13 Midos of Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'chulu. In the pasuk Mikel Kamoicha, Noise Avon V'Oyver Al Pesha, Chazal take that pasuk word by word, and they show you that this pasuk contains within it a reference to each one of the 13 Midos Harachamim. It's a very, very important pasuk. It's the pasuk that we say for Tashlich, and it's the pasuk that we lay on Yom Kippurim. It's a very critical pasuk, but based upon what we're learning now, okay, there's another reference. And the other reference over here, it opens up a whole new pattern. It says the word she'er, and it says the word emes. Go back. Mikel kamecha, who is like you? Noise avon v'oiver al pesha. Hashem is forgiving. L'she'eris nachalosai. Why did Micha select in his words of Nechama she'eris nachalosai? You have to remember, we learned already two parakim of Micha, and the main thing that we learned about Micha, that I don't think we had any parallel to the degree of Micha, is his poetry. Loshain Noifel al Haloshain. He was a master of connecting similar words. And this Chazal is opening up something which you only could appreciate if you learn Perek Gimel. Chazal are telling us that the harshest words of Musar in the entire Sefer Micha are the Pasuk we learned today. Okay, we learned a lot of heavy-duty stuff. But in the eyes of Chazal, with the Pasuk we learned today, Pasuk Beis is the pits. This is the worst. To say about the leaders of Klal Yisrael that your corruption is so great, there's nothing holding you back, not only from taking or stripping your victims naked, you're not embarrassed to pull the skin off their bodies and remove the flesh from their bones. I mean, that's pretty low to say that about the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Pasuk Gimel as well. Shachlu She'er Ami, the remnant of my people. Okay, it's also part. The word She'er is being used over and over, over and over. So only now, when you learn, okay, we didn't do Pasuk Gimel yet, we have to, but it's part of Gimel. Only now, when you learn Micha, Perek Gimel, do you have an appreciation of, when you say Tashlich, the significance of that Pasuk. Because if you didn't learn Perek Gimel, and you go to Tashlich, and you read the words, okay, very nice. It's very nice what he's saying, okay. But now when you appreciate where he's coming from, Micha, he said horrible things using these exact words and concepts. And now when he says Mikel Kamocha, he's coming to compensate. He's coming to take back his words. He's coming to say, listen, when I said these nasty things about you, don't take me so seriously. It's a whole new world. You would never know that. You can live your whole life. You go to Tashlich. You say the Pasuk. Yeah, it's very nice. You get Gimel. You read the art scroll. What it means. You get those Rachamim. You're going to be lacking the appreciation of what he's trying to do. He's trying to soften his harsh words of Musar by using the same expressions in a positive sense. And one of those expressions is she'er, which we had, what we read today, the she'er, the she'era mi'al atzvoisam. And as you pointed out, the next pasuk is she'er ami, okay, the she'er ami. And as well, and we have to read she'er, okay, also the asher, okay, and also. And also, what's that all about? What's the emes liyakov? Why is he adding that at the end? Because we just read Pasuk Beis. He said to the leaders, "Yesoyne toy the oyave ra." There's no greater sheker than that. So it's a compensation. It's a compensation. Titin emes liyakov. Okay, they have to delve more deeper into this, but obviously by Chazal connecting to the two psukim here, this is a whole new awakening of what really we're doing with the pasuk that we are so fluent in. All right, we're going to stop here. To be continued. What? Doesn't say him. Yirmiyahu got for all of them. Yirmiyahu, he was almost dead, but he survived.
Yeah, I told you they left the army.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. They
outside.
I don't know. Nobody. Most of my brothers didn't even hear briefly. They thought they were going to go right there. But it seemed the last minute, whatever it is, I guess there was some opposition. I was doing that. So we had a couple of hundred people.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Where was Leviathan? Outside or inside?
No, in the shul.
In the shul.
In the shul. No, they didn't bring it. They left the Aron out of the basement. It wasn't in the shul proper. It was outside the door.
Outside the door.
Outside the door.
Of the shul?
Yeah, everybody was sitting on the shul.
In the shul. And the Aron was outside.
Right.
The Rav was there?
No, he's in camp.
Very interesting. Why didn't he go to a chapel?
What?
Why didn't he go to a chapel?
Maybe they could, whatever it is, it was last minute and maybe it wasn't available. I don't know. I'll find out eventually. My brother-in-law said
he was a member of the shul? A Rav Kohn shul?
No, Aryeh. That was his grandmother. But he didn't know himself. Aryeh, you know, what do you call it? That was his, you know, his wife's grandmother. And he didn't, I asked him why, I figured he would know. He didn't know. My brother-in-law also didn't know why they had it here. A couple of the brothers didn't know. But it must have been one of the other brothers who dominated there, Rafi. He lived also on 16th Street, he dominated there. So maybe he had somebody from the
street. I sent you that. Mark,
you got room up there?
You got to sit down. I can't.
What? I didn't get an answer, but I'll find out. But they all went there in the show. She was. She was a member of the show.
Maybe she was very involved in the show.
Well, not at 96.
Maybe years ago.
No, years ago she lived in Washington. She only lived here 10 years when she was older already and getting to be infirm. But the children were involved in the show. So. I'll find out more because I'm interested to know exactly what I have a feeling it was a last minute decision. Eretz Yisrael and Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Right next to him.
That idea. That's the big one.
Well, the brothers. Nobody else, just the brothers.
Okay.
So that's where it was.
No, I saw you.
Yeah, he had
there are five sons, and actually, my brother-in-law was on the phone. He speaks with four speakers. They're all speakers. But they were really told not to take the phone when they get to the airport.
Yes.
I'm going to spend time with my sister when she's already so,
No. I
can't move a muscle without she wants to open a hand. If a hand is closed, you've got to open her fingers for her. That's what she's up to.
He's a landlord to all these guys he knows.
I heard first thing from you. So one Shabbos that comes out to the Gabbai, this is from now on, you call me up for an hour and then
I'm going to go to the hospital.
I saw my own eyes.
One night, Tony was a big comic book.
I'm doing it for
I saw my own eyes. She has my own eyes from my brother's wedding. In the soup, it's a machoikis. It's a machoikis in the soup. When you go to the cost of the time of the caring, it's the cost of the time. You say rah. It's a machoikis. Out of my brother's house, the Messiah condition. The Messiah condition. He was his problem was you don't put titles. So the chassan then the kala then put titles. So they called Kiyasat Suda. Maybe they did Achshana Shiva. Achshana Shiva. He's really careful, and he sees the titles not on it. And he knows who wrote it. He knows who's the tradition. And in the hachas on the kupa, he says. And people, everyone took notes. Like, were you kindergarten? It's a kindergarten over here.
I was Aiden by one of the old Sabbath
Rebbe's. Yeah. Zambo or what?
Yeah. And I was Aiden. The Dafka told me when I signed my name.
Yeah. No rat.
Not for me.
Yeah. It was
my
father. Oh, right. Nothing. It's just the day.
Yeah, they both said the same thing. And Dina Rab also said the same
thing. Did he tell you the son went at the end of the age?
No, wait. Another thing also. He signed the first time of
test. See, that's kind.
See, he can read.
Yeah, it's very kind. Did he tell you to say the right word eight?
Yeah.
So he said your name is Ben Eight, Ayin Dalet. Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Two things. First of all, in the 1990s, they changed the law. It used to be that the network had to show both sides of the pitch, had to be, equal sides. You couldn't take one side over the other. They changed the law, and now a network, it's all opinionated. It's all editorial. They've all gone to their own side. You see CNN, it's this and that. So now things are totally different, because especially every cable channel, you look at it from a different point of view.
Exactly.
It's like a balanced point of view.
Exactly. You know what you're looking at.
It used to be a balanced point of view. Walter Cronkite was a balanced point of view. The editor.
It's not really possible. It's not really possible to be balanced. Everyone has.
Of course, but it wasn't so extreme and obvious. Exactly. What's the number one goal of a politician? Is to represent the people?
That's what it's supposed to do. No, we. Okay.
His number one goal, I've seen this more than once, is to keep his job. If you look at what just happened with Trump, and I won't say this because he built the position. First, when they had the massacre, the shooting, he said, we should have gun laws. Now, 2 weeks later, I told my wife was going to happen. It's going to fade a little bit. The NRA is going to get this. And he backtracked it. Why? After the election, he could screw the NRA. But right now, he is the NRA. That's why Schumer has to open his mouth, because Schumer is pro-Israel never liked, but if you open his mouth, he could lose the election. That would serve no purpose. And I'm annoyed at him, but on the other hand, I understand what he's doing.
Look, some will argue that that's what they're seeing to America. You need democracy. Yeah. You can have a totalitarian society where you do it, and the whole country will go down the drain.
My definition of a democracy is the 51% screws the 49%. Right?
It sounds like.
I don't know why you don't listen to Rushmore.
I have time. I'm here in the shir.
No. You're here in shir, and then he comes out.
Okay. You're right. You listen to him? Is he good? Is he good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's fire. He's fire.
Not as fiery as Levin, but he's right on target.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
And he's good. My kids are Rush babies.
Yeah, I agree.